This is the Big K Morning Show. Welcome to the weekend. We continue to look at the damage done by Milton and 2 weeks ago, Hurricane Helene. And one of the residual effects are the animals that go with their owners who love them so much and in some cases have been separated. So we found out that humane societies in Pennsylvania, for instance, are waiving adoption fees and seeking donation as they accept animals from the shelters of the storm. And joining us is Sarah Smith. Sarah is with the Humane Society of the Harrisburg area in the central part of our state. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning.
So what have you heard in terms of people in need of trying to find places for their pets, and how does this work?
Sure. You know, whenever disaster strikes, and, you know, this is something that our organization, along with our affiliate, Brandywine Valley SPCA, a little bit further east, it's something that we help with from when disaster strikes. And there's kind of a trickle-down effect that our local shelters and shelters across the country can help by pulling animals that were already in shelters, that were already adoptable, that were already looking for second homes, out of those shelters in that, you know, impacted area, that disaster area, to make room for those shelters, you know, in Florida, you know, in the areas that were hard hit.
Oh, we lost Sarah's connection here. We'll get her right back. In the meantime, Maine Society of the central part of the state, they're waiving all those fees through October 16th to make room for the animals that are continuing. And now with Milton being evacuated from, in this case, Florida, but Sarah mentioned the other states that are involved. So
now would be a good time to adopt a pet.
Right.
There'll be a lot of pets to pick from, and with them waiving adoption fees.
Yeah, if you were thinking about it, I guess, and maybe is there an interim, you know how sometimes you can take care of a pet for a period of time?
Like a foster home.
Yeah, exactly. Let's ask Sarah about that. Sarah, welcome back. Sorry we lost you there.
I don't know what happened. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. It happens all the time.
Right.
Back to our conversation, Paul and I were wondering, our anchorman, is there a, if people can't adopt a pet, so obviously if you've been thinking about it, this is a good time to do that to make room, correct?
Sure, yes.
And if not, is there like a foster program where people can keep pets that would help for a while?
Sure. You know, I think that, back to what I was just trying to say really quickly and get that out of the way, you know, to be able to move those shelter animals out of that area and find them new homes so that those shelters that are in that disaster zone can focus on those animals that were separated from their families during the storm, those pet families that need extra support like free pet food or care or things like that. Those are the things that those shelters need to be focused on now. So that's why across the country, you know, organizations like ours can step up to take those animals that were already in those shelters that were already adoptable and help them find homes and make that space for those local shelters. You know, across the Humane Society of Harrisburg area and all of the affiliate shelters out in eastern Pennsylvania and Delaware at Brandywine Valley, we're waiving adoption fees for our large adult dogs and adult cats to try to make space so that, you know, as we work with our partners in the impacted areas to take out more animals, we have that room. And if you don't have room to adopt, I mean, now's a great time to adopt because shelters across the country are full and they need our help. And this is saving lives. And it really does help. If you have temporary space in your home, there are plenty of kittens and puppies that are brand new and need that space. There are senior animals that need that space out of the shelter. I'm sure that there are plenty of organizations near you where you live to be able to help out in that way too. To your point, when disaster strikes, a lot of the shelters in those areas reach out to fosters. I mean, there was shelters in the Florida area that were, you know, right in the path that did a big foster pool and got a lot of those animals out of their shelters into fosters during the storm. And so now, you know, it's about figuring out where they go next.
Sarah, I was curious to know, this bringing these pets up from Florida shelters can't be inexpensive at all, right? Are you looking for some input from some donations as well?
Of course. You know, I think that, you know, we're waiving adoption fees. That is, you know, a cost to our organization. And then also working with partners to be able to drive or fly animals out of the disaster zone. I mean, there's a large cost that comes in with moving those animals out and then caring for them and making sure that they can get into homes. You can make a donation to the Humane Society of Harrisburg area, Brandywine Valley SPCA, and I'll be a good steward and say to any of your local organizations that you feel comfortable supporting, we're sure that they're all helping in this way too.
Well, appreciate your time and effort, and thanks. You have a great weekend.
Thank you so much.
Sarah Smith with the Humane Society of Harrisburg.
You know, what she's saying is everybody can do something, right?
Yeah.
You can either foster a pet, you can adopt a pet, or you can send a donation, or you can do all three or whatever.
Yeah, that was a great point that you had. Is there an interim kind of thing for people that don't have the ability to, you know, adopt a pet permanently but are willing to shelter one for a period of time?
Well, both of my dogs were rescue dogs. They went through an organization and then to foster families before they came to me.
Yeah, I have a rescue dog, and, you know, she's been a great joy in our life. Although I think in the beginning we were fooled a little bit. They said that there was an older couple that got ill and they couldn't take care of the dog, and the dog was pretty young then. I think the dog was about a year or two. It was a golden retriever, and when the dog first came, it was like having a deer loose in the house. And I said, that couple didn't get sick. They just couldn't handle her.
Well, she did a good landing with you.
Yeah.
That's the best part.
She's a sweet old girl now. She's about 13. She gives you that look, you know, like, I really am faking like I love you as long as you feed me. There you go.
There's one of my top five horror movies right there.
Yeah, my wife just texted me. Walking Dead used to be her ringtone. She's watched every spinoff, too, which is starting to make me wonder, maybe if I came through the family room with fake blood on and dragged a foot, I may be more attractive. What do you think, Aaron?
You're really on this kick this morning.
It's not my kick.
Yeah, I guess we're entering that season.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
we're in it.
Well, I mean, like Variety Magazine just published a couple of days ago their list of the best horror movies of all time. I mean, it's that time of the year.
All right. What do they got listed?
Well, hang on a sec. I got to get to the bottom of the list. You know how they do this? They put 100 at the top, and then you got to work your way down.
True.
So, okay, here we go. Number five, Rosemary's Baby. Yeah, that's a good one.
That was with, what's her name?
Mia Farrow. Number four, Jaws. I would say yes to that. Number three is Psycho.
I don't consider Jaws
a horror movie.
No, but.
Oh, I sure do.
It's like
really?
A thriller.
What do you think? It's like a fishing movie or something?
Yeah.
What kind of a movie is it to you?
Well,
you're the movie maven in this group.
Action thriller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how do you spell Psycho?
P-S-Y-C-H-O. And that was with, of course, Alfred Hitchcock's direction. And who was it? Anthony Perkins.
Anthony Perkins. I didn't take a shower for years.
Yep.
My goodness.
One of the great scenes in black and white cinema. The drain in that bathtub.
Yeah, there were like 64 edits in 16 seconds or something. That was Hitchcock's way to create that, you know, angst and anxiety.
Number two was The Exorcist.
Yeah, you just heard the theme song to that.
And I'm surprised at number one because I've never seen it and never want to. But I'm surprised. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, that's
I saw that, and I don't think that should be number one.
That's a love story.
Yeah, The Exorcist is scarier than that. a love story.
Oh, wow. All the right. Wheels are off the wagon.
What is the last horror film you saw?
You know, I was thinking that as we were going down this list, and I might need a second. Because horror movies, I can do thriller that just touches horror, but horror movies freak me out. I have to be honest.
Anything with a nun in it.
Yeah, exactly. Agreed.
I forget the name. There is a movie
called The Nun.
Yeah, that's right.
By the way.
Yeah. I had that experience in real life. When you're
in grade school.
Well, when you're first grade and you see the nuns back then wore those habits, the black full-length dresses with the white cardboard, you know.
We call it the full penguin.
Yep.
Yeah, and then we had a principal, Sister Gabriel, who came down the hallway, and you couldn't see her feet move. She floated like she was an air hockey puck. She just slid down the hallway, drifting a little to one side, terrifying that line. And then, you know, because we're lined up on both sides. For
no
the buses
one talking. Everyone's standing still.
No one talking. And she had a mustache that wasn't quite as prominent as Paul Skeen's.
If that... You're really painting a picture.
Oh,
really are.
Yeah. You want to watch your turn on the news at 6. Big weekend in the Berg, a lot of festivals. You have the Columbus Day Parade in Little Italy. That's Bloomfield at 11. And starting today, the RV Liquidation Super Sale at the David Lawrence Convention Center. And back again is producer Randy Giancola. Randy, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
I know, this is like your Super Bowl, right?
Nah, this is kind of like the divisional playoffs. I'd say our Super Bowl's in January.
Fair enough. But this is an opportunity for people that, and I know RVing's popularity has grown exponentially, but to take advantage of just what you say it is, a liquidation super sale. So walk us through what people can see this weekend.
Well, Larry, I'm walking on the show floor now. They'll see travel trailers. Small ones, big ones, destination trailers, Class A motorhomes, Class C motorhomes, Class B motorhomes. There's fifth wheels, there's toy haulers. And I just walked by a sign. I almost fell over. I'm glad I didn't. There's not a lot of people here. RVs starting at $13,989 or payments as low as $143 a month. That's less than $5 a day. There's people that spend that much on coffee or more.
Oh, no question. And Paul and I, our anchorman, were just talking about the technological innovations that have also come along with RVs. It's not your old RVs like we remember growing up.
No, I'm looking at awnings on the sides that have no arms, and they got these little things that spin around. If the wind blows, it automatically brings the awning in. You don't have to bend over to put the stabilizer jacks down anymore. You push a button, auto leveling. Walking by one now that has a Greystone grill, a refrigerator, an ice maker, and a wash station outside. They got latches for your pets. They got Wi-Fi extenders. They got cell phone service extenders. And not to mention the beautiful pontoon boats that I'm walking by right now.
Oh, I didn't know you had pontoon boats as part of this deal, too.
Oh, yeah. One of our dealers, Boyer's RV out of Erie, they brought pontoon boats down. They brought deck boats down. They brought V boats down. They even have golf carts and electric bikes.
So I'd like to ask, do you sell at this event? Can someone who falls in love with something there and wants to be impulsive make a purchase right there?
Bring your checkbook, baby. these dealers are clearing out. This is a liquidation sale. The 25 models have been announced. They brought in maybe a 23 brand new or a 24 brand new. They don't want to keep these things over the winter months. They want to get rid of them so they don't have to pay the floor plan interest and keep them clean. Profits be gone. They want to move these RVs. They want to liquidate them. They want to get them off their lots, and they want to make room for the new ones.
At very least, it sounds like a lot of fun just to walk and see all that you can see.
Yeah, we'll have a few campground vendors on your way in, and I mean, it's great. Now, I'll try and paint a picture for you. There's a brand new unit. I'm surprised it's here. It's right from Elkhart, Indiana. It's a Forest River Salem. It's called a veranda. This thing has a back porch on it where you could sit underneath a roof. You could be out in the open. It's got a graystone griddle. I mean, can you just, and it's got a sink. Could you just imagine on the griddle, you got the chicken and peppers and onions, couple margaritas. What a blast we could have.
Now I'm hungry.
And so it starts today, 4 o'clock, 4 to 9, 10 to 9 tomorrow, 10 to 5 on Sunday at the David Lawrence Convention Center. It is the RV Liquidation Super Sale, or as I like to say, the RV Liquidation Super Sale. And
Larry, can I interrupt you?
Please.
I'm so sorry. Talking to the dealers, this will be a little blast from the past. You know what they're doing this weekend?
What's that,
they're
Randy?
They're stacking them high, letting them fly, stacking them deep, and selling them cheap.
That's a beauty.
Perfect.
Randy Giancola, the producer of the show. Yeah, divisional playoff version of the RV, and then, of course, his Super Bowl is in January for 9 big days at the convention center. Well, good luck this weekend, Randy. Off a little controversy about the scariest films of all time.
Well, sure. I mean, some really good movies weren't in the top five, like The Silence of the Lambs, for example.
The Lambs silent, Clarice.
A census taker once tried to test me.
I ate his liver with a nice Chianti and some fava beans.
Aaron, did you ever see Silence of the Lambs?
I actually watched it recent, very, very recently. And you guys, that's a pretty good impression, both of you.
Well, you know what? Yeah. Over at, obviously it was filmed in Pittsburgh, in that house that's along the river there, the Mon, that I guess they turned into a bed and breakfast.
It was for sale not long ago.
Or Airbnb or something.
I don't know if I knew that. Wow.
Yeah, but the cage where they kept Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
That was the Soldiers and Sailors Hall, right?
Yeah, they have it on display now.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, this weekend, I guess through the Halloween week.
Another one of my favorite lines. Ready when you are, Sergeant Pembrey.
Let me see if I can bring something.
So what's the controversy?
Here you go. The controversy is people were saying that that's a weak list.
Yeah.
And it doesn't include, like, The Birds, Alfred Hitchcock.
There's one for you.
You mentioned Psycho, so you got that one. Then Silence of the Lambs. How about this? They said
that's from the first one. I think that's from Manhunter, and that was not the Hannibal we think of.
No, but when they made Silence of the Lambs, apparently Anthony Hopkins stayed in character off the set.
Oh,
that
wow.
is so dangerous.
And there was a couple that got on an elevator with him.
Oh gosh.
And there he's standing there. Can you imagine?
Method acting.
I'm having an old friend for dinner.
Yes, he is.
Let's see. I got so many texts. That's why I wanted to bring it back up, because people want to make sure that they're...
Let me explain. This is Variety. So this is an industry newspaper, and these were selected by critics.
Let me see what happens if I...
Which you're going to get a different list from people who like movies.
Hey, Siri, what are the top 10 scariest movies of all time?
I'm interested.
She just says, here, she don't want to talk to me. She just says, here's what I found.
No, she's been stoning you like this quite a bit lately.
Yeah, tell me about it. So they have the number one. Well, we'll go backwards on this list.
Okay. Number 10.
At number 10, It. 2017, Fear of Clowns. Mm-hmm. Very real thing. My youngest daughter was terrified of clowns. Then I realized why. Because there was a clown when she was born that came to the hospital, because I was on TV, and put one of those fake clown noses on before we could say anything, which then I realized must have been on 100 snotty kids before.
Yeah.
And she got RSV, and we spent the night at Children's Hospital.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, boy.
Well, there you go.
So I was afraid of clowns, too, after that. Insidious is number 9. This is James Wan.
Oh, I remember this.
Patrick Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember Insidious?
I remember reactions that people gave me after watching that, and it's up there.
2012, Sinister. For those who didn't read the scientific study, blah, blah, blah. I guess I never saw this one. Halloween, of course, the original, is number 7. The Ring, where the woman keeps coming out of the TV.
Yeah, that's pretty scary.
Paul, you haven't seen that one?
No.
It's disturbing.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre is 5. The Shining is 4.
There we go. All right, now that makes some sense.
Here's Johnny.
Just remember.
I went to that hotel, by the way, when I was in Colorado.
It's
visiting my uncle. It's gorgeous, but it's like weird. You're like, wait, is where this happened?
At the scene at the very beginning of the movie where they're driving up to it, that's actually shot on Going to the Sun Rose in Glacier National Park up in Montana.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
The Conjuring is 3rd.
Yes, I agree with that.
2013. Hereditary. I don't even know this film.
Neither do I. And it was on the variety list as well.
And The Exorcist is 1. Hereditary. Yeah. I don't know anything about it. But that's the list that Siri gave me when I asked her, what are the top 10 scariest films of all time? There you go.
What do you think, Paul? Some of those I agree with.
Well, a lot of them I haven't seen because I kind of stopped watching horror movies about 20 years ago. My thing is that, you know, whatever's in my mind when I go to bed usually winds up in a dream.
Yes.
You know, so if I'm up watching my movies late and then it's a horror movie, I wind up having a bad dream.
Well, just know that the most recent ones are very unhinged.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
Well, because they have to keep outdoing themselves.
Exactly.
So it gets more bizarre.
Yeah, that's right.
There was one that was on last night that I flicked around and saw about the cabin. I think it's an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Cabin in the Woods?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. That was pretty scary. I've seen that. What did you think?
It was like a doomsday kind of thing.
You know, for me, what's really frightening is something scary that you can't see, but you know it's there in the movie.
It's like our boss. Let's just leave it at that.
The password is lurking.